Let me pray, and after I'm done praying, we're going to hear this morning's Bible passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's pray together. So, Father in heaven, we enter again the sacred season of Advent and Christmas with a sense of both fear and hope. We're fearful that the season will overwhelm us again, that all the events and happenings and the busyness of the season will crowd you out. We are fearful that we and others might miss out again on the true meaning of the season. So we ask that this year, at least for, well, we pray for all of us, but also for those of us who are fearful this will happen, that you'll also give us hope that this year could be different. Hopeful that you will enlarge our hearts so much that we can give a faith-filled welcome to the Christ child. This morning, by the power of your Spirit, prepare room in our hearts to hear and receive and believe your word, both this morning and throughout this special Advent season. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, the promised Messiah. Amen.
Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made, and in him was the light of life that gives life to all men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Now, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to all men was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, to those who called upon his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who was sent from God, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him, crying out, saying, "He is the one I spoke of when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because before me he was.'" In his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in perfect relation with the Father, has come to make him known.
Amen to that. Could I challenge more of us this year to memorize those verses? I've asked James, I've asked a couple of other people to do that, but now I'm thinking maybe I could ask more of us to memorize John 1, verses 1 to 18. These are the words of introduction in the Gospel of John. People who write on the Gospel of John will call those verses the prologue. It is really John's version of the Christmas story. Now, when I say Christmas story, I'm sure that for many of us, we think about Mary and Joseph and Gabriel and other angels, and the shepherds, and the sheep, and the list goes on of all the characters in the Christmas story. we might wonder, where are those characters this morning? That wasn't the Christmas story, was it? Well, it is. It's another version. It's a poetic, a lyrical, I want to throw in the word a theological, a very God thought through from the beginning of time till now. Let's use some different words to describe what happened when Jesus came to this earth. And this morning, we're going to hear those verses today, but also in coming Sunday mornings and Christmas Day service, we're going to keep hearing those words from John 1. It's my hope that they will anchor us this season. They will anchor us in the true story of Christmas, and they will cause some wonder and hopefully some awe to happen in our hearts as we keep hearing and meditating on these words from the first chapter of John. Now, if you have a bulletin this morning, I would invite you to take that out. And I'm really thankful for this year's Christmas graphic. And if you open it up, there is an insert there with the same graphic and an outline of our Advent season this year. I want to highlight some of that because I realize even though I know what's going to be happening, I'm not sure all of us do. So let me invite us to look at that and just to pay attention a little bit to some differences, especially this year in terms of Nelson Avenue, what's happening, and some things that are the same. But, you know, four Advent Sunday mornings, so starting this morning for these four Sundays in Advent, we'll be focusing on the Christmas story. On the last Sunday of Advent, December 20th, we're going to be having a children's Christmas pageant during the service. And then we're also planning two services, one on Christmas Eve and one on Christmas Day. And I want to highlight the Christmas Eve service because this year we're starting at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Now, I know some of you say that is way too, we've never done that before at Nelson Avenue. We've never had, as far as I know, a 5 o'clock Christmas Eve service. And I confess that's true. We've never done that before, as far as I know. But we're doing that because someone said last year already, it'd be nice if that service was a bit earlier to help families with younger children come. And I thought, well, if we can do that, let's do that. So this year we're going to try a 5 o'clock Christmas Eve service. Some of you say it's too early. I'm working. I can't come. I don't know what to do about that. But I do know we're trying to accommodate families with younger children to come and be part of that service. So that's the reason. We'll see how it goes, and we'll see if we do that again in the future. I want to let you know about that, and maybe you want to put that somewhere on a fridge, or if you say, I know all this stuff already, maybe pass along to a family member or a friend or someone in your neighborhood, invite them to join us for this Advent season. This year, we're picking up the theme, Sing to the King, a season of song. And we could have also said it's a season of prayer or a season of hospitality, or a season of generosity, or a season of justice. All of those are also very appropriate responses to the coming of Jesus. But this year we're focusing on song, to sing, 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 to be, I might say, a great choir, or a worship team, or a karaoke team. I don't know if they have karaoke teams, but as the words go up on the screen or in a program, to say, this is our cue now, to sing about and for Jesus Christ, to be one voice with one purpose, to tell again the coming of Jesus. And we're going to sing, as we did this morning, some songs we know well. Encourage you to sing along with those. But we're also, I'm hoping, we're going to hear and maybe learn some new Christmas songs. Are there any new Christmas songs out there? There are. It's amazing. The songs keep being written. And so I'm hoping that we will learn, I'm hoping at least one or two new Christmas songs this year. For me, that helps me. Some of those old songs I love, but I also need to hear sometimes someone in a more contemporary style, maybe contemporary words, remind me of the story of Christ. And my other hope this morning, and I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'm trying to see if we can make it happen, is to sing songs in English and Spanish. English and Mandarin. English and Romanian. Or maybe, and this is my big hope, that we could find a song or two or three, a Christmas song, that we could sing in English, Spanish, Mandarin, Romanian, Tagalog, Dutch, Korean, Swedish, Finnish, where's Aura? But to put eight or nine languages together and say we could all sing this in the heart language that a number of us have. To find songs like that, for me, that would be awesome. If you're on Facebook, we're also putting a Christmas song every day starting today on our church's Facebook page. So if you want to follow along during the Advent season, right up to Christmas Day, where a number of songs we know already, but a few songs that maybe you've not heard before. And our plan, or our hope, is that as we sing this Christmas season, we will find ourselves loving God more. I hope that happens for us. And we will find ourselves also loving each other more. I hope that happens for us. And we will say, I want those songs to touch me deeply this year. My heart, my emotions, my affections. I want to be thinking about the songs that I sing. Not just blah, 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 but I'm thinking about the words. I'm thinking about those phrases. I'm wanting God to touch me so deeply that my relationships with people in the church, family, friends, outside the church, the cashier at Costco, even there, something sweet is happening between us because I'm being deeply immersed in these songs again. I want my actions to be affected, that during especially the Christmas and Advent season, but also beyond, there's lots of good and just actions happening through me. And that maybe I'm singing and deeply engaging these songs so much, I'm wanting others to join us in the singing of the Christmas songs. Because I want to suggest we dare not be silent during Advent and Christmas. It would not simply be a shame if we were silent, but it would be wrong. I want to use the word sinful. It would be sin if we were silent during this season. It would be wrong because the story of the coming of Jesus is just too good. It's too big. It's too wonderful. It's too awesome to keep all bottled up. Now, that might sound a little bit too much for some of us. You know, dare not be silent, not simply shameful, but wrong and sinful. Isn't that a bit dramatic? Maybe. But I would say it like this. If after the service today you helped someone in some way, someone fell and you helped them, or a child needed help, or someone needed help bringing groceries into their home, an older person, whatever it might be, that would be great. But it wouldn't be worth a song. Well, maybe one song. But it would not be worth multiple songs and services and choirs and concerts, an entire month of celebration. But when we understand the magnitude of the Christmas story, when we understand how big the story is, when we understand who the child really is, then I hope we would say, and in some ways sing, we dare not be silent. We cannot be silent. And so we should be asking ourselves, who is this child? Who is this child that, you know, we have a manger up here, and we have these Christmas trees and lights, and we're singing Christmas songs, and who is the child that we're talking about? And this morning, I want to encourage you to, believe it or not, the child is God Himself. The child is God Himself. Now, I always expect someone to say something. I mean, that's God has come in human form. Now, my expectation is that some of us are saying, oh, I know that. So others of us are saying, I know that, but I'm so thankful. And others of us are saying, I can't believe that. I can't believe that God would come in human form. And I confess, it is almost unbelievable. Because no other religion on the planet says this. Every other religion, they will say, here's the founder of this religion, whatever it might be. He is a prophet. He is a wise person. Whatever this founder is. And he is helping us get to God. He is helping us get to heaven. He is helping us sort of get out of our messy lives and away from the earth. It's only the Christian faith that says, it's not first of all how to get to God, it's God Himself coming down to this earth. That's why I think for many of us it sounds almost unbelievable, because nobody else is telling us this kind of story. I would encourage us, for those of us who say it's, you know, unbelievable because I just can't believe it, to, I would suggest, it's very simplistic, but to say, if there is a God, if there is a God that exists, if He's anything like the God of the Bible, for Him to come in human form should at least be a possibility. It should at least be somewhat conceivable that if the God is somewhat like the Bible God, the God from the Bible, He would be able to come in human form. The child, and that's why I had us read this morning from the Belgic Confession. Sometimes we, you know, why all that kind of older language, the language of doctrine and theology? Because I want to emphasize so much, He is really human, and He's really God, really divine. This is God clothed in flesh, God with skin and bones, God becoming human, God incarnated, He has enfleshed Himself. Heaven has come to earth. And if the story is not about this, this is what I want to say on Easter Sunday as well, but if the story is not about God who's come to earth, if it's not this big and this good, then I don't know why we're singing as much as we do. I just could not understand that. But if the story is this great, if it is this good, if it is this big, then ring that bell. And let's sing. Let's sing much. Let's sing loudly. Let's sing often. Let's sing everywhere. Let's sing with others. Let's sing on our own. Let's sing in the car. Let's sing in the shower. Let's sing in church, but also let's sing at work, in our places of vocation. And this morning, although maybe in the past I've said differently, this morning I'm wondering if the malls and the coffee shops and the stores have it more right than we do in the church. I started hearing Christmas songs last week. Where was I? I don't know, Waves, Starbucks, somewhere. And I said, is this Christmas music already? And the lady sort of, you know, smiled and, yeah, you know, we've started a little early this year, but maybe others have started earlier, I'm not sure. But this morning I'm wondering if they have it more right than we do, because we sing as a church on Sunday mornings and a few other times, but they're singing, it sounds like, all the time. 24/7, which I think is the response of God coming to earth. And I know some of us are tired of the music. I would encourage us to pray, Lord, I don't want to be tired of the music this year. When I go to the mall and I enter the store, or I go to the coffee shop, Lord, this year, let me hum along. Let me sing along. Let me tell the person behind the counter, I actually know this song. Have you heard this song before? Maybe, in some ways, it's God's way of helping us connect with people. I never thought of it before, but connecting people during the Advent season. That all these stores, Many of them don't believe it. Have these songs playing, and for those of us who know what the songs mean, what a connection to those who've never heard or maybe need to hear the story again. Again, some of us might struggle with the idea that God Himself is with us in the form of Jesus Christ. Maybe some of us struggle with that, not so much because God could never do that or because God's not strong enough or powerful enough, but we might wonder why. Why would God do that? Why would God leave, or Jesus, the Son of God, leave the glories of heaven and come to a messed up planet like ours with wars and killings and genocide and refugees and global warming? Why would God do that? And we ask it because hardly any of us do that. We can't conceive of ourselves leaving the comforts of Burnaby and going somewhere where it's not as comfortable, not for a week or a month, but to invest our lives somewhere else. We can't conceive of it, and so we have a tough time thinking that God would do that willingly. And the answer we get throughout the Bible in terms of why God has done that, the only answer we really get is that He's done it because of love. He's not come to this earth to promote Himself or to gain power or to show off. He's not come because we're so good or so nice or so cuddly. He's come because of love. And so if the story is this great, that God Himself came in human form, not compelled, not forced, not coerced, not for selfish gain, but because of love, if God has really come to enflesh Himself in human skin and bone, then let creation lift her voice. Let every tongue bring the highest praise. Let every creature bring their finest gifts. Let those of us, especially who are image bearers of God, who are made especially to worship God, bring Him our souls, our hearts, our bodies, our lives, our all. If Jesus is really God with us, then let's worship Him. If He's only a nice guy, if Jesus is only a nice guy, then give Him a nice pat on the back. Nice to meet you, Jesus. If He's only a teacher, then give Him an award and a round of applause. Nice teaching, Jesus. If He's only a prophet, then give Him some respect and listen for a while. But if He really is God with us, then get out the instruments. Tune the violins, clean out the windpipes, plug in the amps, strike up the band, warm up your voices. For those of us who love to sing and for those of us who don't love to sing, because God, through the sending of His Son, has given us something to sing about. And we heard this in this morning's reading, or the speaking of John 1. That first verse in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a staggering way to start the Gospel of John. The author saying, I'm going to talk about someone for 21 chapters. I want you to know right away, the one I'm going to talk to you about, He is God Himself. Verse 3, through Him all things were made. So He is the creator of all things. And then at the end of the passage, almost like bookends, John says the same thing again, like verse 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is Himself God. In case you didn't hear already, I'm going to tell you one more time before I'm done the prologue, this long introduction. He is Himself God. Or also this morning from our Advent reading, from Matthew chapter 1, the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call Him Emmanuel. They're going to call Him Jesus, but they're also going to call him Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel, that word only happens three times in the Bible. Only once right here in the New Testament, but the idea of God coming or God being with us is a thread that goes throughout the whole Bible story. I'm thinking about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and telling Mary, this teenage girl, he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The son that you will carry and bear, his kingdom will never end. And who in the Bible has a kingdom that will never end? God himself. Or Elizabeth, Mary comes to visit Elizabeth and she says, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And I'm scratching my head, I'm thinking, who does Elizabeth think is in the womb there? That you, the mother, you're the mother of my Lord. I've not even seen your baby yet. But that's who I'm going to call you, and that's who I will call your son. And throughout church history, writers and poets have also tried to describe what's going on in the Christmas story. St. Augustine from the 4th century said it like this, "The Lord, through whom all things were made, was himself made among all things. The maker and placer of the Son was made and placed under the Son. The producer of heaven and earth appearing on earth under heaven. The one who was unspeakably wise, wisely speechless as an infant." Or C.S. Lewis, I just listened to this book the other day, the last few weeks, The Last Battle, which is the last book in the Chronicles of Narnia. In that book, he has someone say, "In our world too, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world." Or Lucy Shaw, in a poem called Mary's Song, writes, Mary is speaking to her infant son, "Quiet he lies, whose vigor hurled a universe. He sleeps, whose eyelids have not closed before. Older than eternity, now he is new. Now native to earth as I am, nailed to my poor planet, caught that I might be free, blind in my womb to know my darkness ended, brought to this birth for me to be newborn, and for him to see me mended, I must see him torn." Or Pastor Sam Storms like this, back and forth, this trying to make sense of what happened. The invisible became visible. The untouchable became touchable. In the birth of Jesus, the unlimited became limited. The infinite became finite. The unbreakable became fragile. The independent became dependent. The almighty became weak. And so the pages of the Bible tell us who the child is, and Christian authors have tried to tell us. And then, of course, the songs that we sing tell us who the child is. A song like "Joy Has Dawned" by Keith Getty. Some of the lyrics in that song go, "Hands that held each star in place, shaped the earth in darkness, now cling to a mother's breast, vulnerable and helpless." Or the song "Angels from the Realms of Glory." I mean, sometimes, you know, we're singing these songs, I'm wondering, do I really know what I'm singing? Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night, God with man, or God with us, is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Do we catch those verses that tell us who the child is? God with man. Or the song "Silent Nights." I always imagine we always kind of sing this song kind of dreamily. "Silent Nights." We all maybe got our candles out. "Holy Nights." The second verse, I think it is, "Son of God, love's pure light." And the reason why I'm mentioning the scriptures and the writers and the songs is because I really want us to know again this year who we're singing about and who we're singing to. Not just simply "Happy Birthday, Jesus," although not wrong to sing that song. And not even merely singing like a national anthem, we're very patriotic, but the singing we do at Christmas time is meant to be worship. It's meant to be worship to God. As Daryl Johnson writes, do you worship Jesus? This is the million-dollar question. The answer to the question reveals whether or not we understand what really happened at Christmas. The wise men were truly wise. They did not understand everything about the child, but they did know that he was worthy of the worship given only to the living God. Now, I love to talk and use words like the incarnation. I'm not sure if that's true for all of us, but I love to incarnation, God with us, and other ways of describing it. A word or image I would like to have us listen for that describes incarnation, God with us, as we sing and listen to songs this year, is the image of the king, which is another image that happens throughout the Christmas songs. The king is Jesus, and the king has come. And so as we listen or sing Christmas songs, even this morning in a few moments, I want us to listen for the message of the king, that the king of heaven has come. The king has come to reclaim his people and his land and his entire creation. The king has come to set up the kingdom of God among us, but also in us. The king has come to defeat his enemies and our enemies, which are typically the same enemies, if we understand enemies from the Bible's point of view. The king has come to set prisoners free, all kinds of prisoners. The king has come to die that we might not die forever. And the king has come to die and live again that we might receive all the promises of God from the very beginning of the Bible story. So again, listen to the songs. Listen for the image of the king. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn king. Or the song, O come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels. I want us to listen, be listening for the songs that talk about the king. Even though we don't have really a king in Canada, or many countries really don't have kings anymore, I think the concept of king and kingdom still work, because the movies we watch and some of the TV shows we watch still depend on images like that. In a few moments, we're going to sing the song, What Child Is This? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come peasant, king, whoever you are, to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. And I've been struck again by how often the songs of Christmas return to this kind of theme. So we're going to sing that song in a few moments. I'll invite the worship team to come up and to prepare yourself up here. What Child Is This is maybe a well-known song. I'm not sure if we all know it. But one of the things, as we think about songs that we sing, sometimes what gets lost is the story behind the song, which I'm always amazed at when I hear the stories of who the authors were or what was going on in their lives and how this song came out of their experience. So often, the story is pain and suffering and heartache that leads to song. So just a little bit about What Child Is This, written by a man, William Chatterton Dix, lived in the 19th century, born in Bristol, England. He was working for an insurance company. He was a man of poetry. He loved poetry. And early on in his life, while he's working for this insurance company, he's afflicted by an unexpected and severe illness that resulted in him being bedridden and suffering from severe depression. His near-death experience brought about a spiritual renewal in him while he was recovering. During this time, he read the Bible comprehensively and was inspired to author hymns like, "Hallelujah, sing to Jesus," which I'm not sure if we all know, but when I hear that, sort of read that line, I'm thinking about the song. A song, "As with Gladness, Men of Old," and also the song, "What Child Is This?" So this morning, as we sing the song, listen for the King who's come. But also, I want you to think about, it's not pie in the sky. It's not someone, my life is all together, everything's fine. The person who wrote this, a man who suffered, depressed, near death, and God did something. And out of that experience, he starts writing hymns that even this morning bless God's people.